Activate your voice.
Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of Activate Live. I'm Tanya Hutchins, a communications representative with the Machinist Union. This is a special edition at the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. We have lots of great classes going on here, and we're going to speak with a few of the students in each of those classes. We have an organizing class, we have a basic steward class with NEPIIM, the Forest Service Council. We also have a political education and training class, so we'll learn about all of those different classes. But first, this is May Day. This is also the day that the IAM is recognizing Workers' Memorial Day. Now, Workers' Memorial Day is normally on April 28th, but that was a Sunday. So today, we had a special ceremony right in back of the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center, and we had a pretty good turnout. It was a gray day, but we had International President Bob Martinez spoke, and he gave us some statistics. General Secretary Treasurer Dora Cervantes spoke as well. There are more than 5,000 people that died in 2017 on the job or from a job-related injury. And we recognized more than 20 people, fallen members. We also had special remembrances, and there were bricks that were laid today. Here you can see from Local 4, we have two members there. And we put a rose next to each brick of the new bricks that were installed today. So it was a very somber service, but it was also just very special, and we had lots of people come from all over the country. There were members here for classes. They came here. You see Richard Barnes and also Eric Byers. Their family members were here, and they even had from Letterkenny, there were members who actually rode their bikes down here, and I think it was like 2.5 hours that it took them to get here. But they really wanted to be here, not only to support the families, but to honor our members. So we do this every year, our Workers' Memorial Service. And this bell that you see here is tolled when each of the names is read. And I'm actually going to read you some of those names now. So we honor today our fallen members included Steve Ray Fowey, IAM Crest. He was the Headquarters Safety and Health Department. Guy Hall Jr. of Local Lodge 24. Anthony Bonds, Local Lodge 4. Frank Pronk Gatton, Local Lodge 4. Michael Kaczynski, Local Lodge 4. Also Dan Holmes, Local Lodge 460. Rusty Staubs, Local Lodge 460. Russell Beyer, Local Lodge 1202. Vicente Juarez, Local Lodge 1202. Benito Elizondo, District Lodge 10. Phil Neuenfeld, Local Lodge 1916. Mabel Poole, Local Lodge 773. Billy E. Stiver Sr., Directing Business Rep for District Lodge 27. John Mendenhall, Local Lodge 845. Alan Lowe, Local Lodge T6673. Thomas Neese Jr., Local Lodge T6344. Richard Rich Pasquarella was an Assistant General Chair for District 141. Richard Barnes, NEFI Federal Lodge 1429, and Eric S. Byers, NEFI Federal Lodge 1429. Now, there were also several remembrances. There were special remembrances. There was retired Assistant Secretary to the GST, Michael Dorsey, retired business rep for Local Lodge 10, Bill Eco. I apologize if I did not pronounce that right. Retired Secretary Treasurer and Educator for Local Lodge 731, Ernest Hartless. Retired Grand Lodge Rep Carl Heim, retired Communications Rep David Stack, and we have Linda Margaret Buffenbarger, the wife of retired International President Tom Buffenbarger, and Vincent Martinez, the brother of International President Robert Martinez Jr. So this was a very special occasion for us today. Very sad, very somber, but we had a very good turnout, and we're just trying to remind people that there are so many people that are either injured or killed on the job, more than 5,000 people in 1 year, and 2017 was the last year that we had statistics for. because it takes time to gather all of those statistics. But International President Bob Martinez said that more than 5,000 people, that amounts to something like 14 people a day. So can you think about that? 14 people a day that are dying on the job. So that's one of the most important things I think about having a union contract is we have a place to study about union safety and we have safety committees. So that's one of the things that we're going to talk about with some of our students today because they were in the audience as well. And we are actually going to start with our first class that we're going to talk about is the organizing class. And our first guest is Keisha Dunleavy. And Keisha is on the Massachusetts State Council of Machinists, and she's the Secretary Treasurer. So thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. What did you think of that service today?
I was moved. It was very moving. Dora had a lovely poem that she read, and she was moved, and it inspired.
It did. It really touches people, even if they've been to more than one. It's just, it really gets to you that, you know, we're talking about people's lives.
Real people. And that's why the union's so important is, you know, it's people's livelihood. And we're trying to take care of them and help them take care of their families and their communities. And we certainly don't want them to lose their lives while they're going to work.
No, we always say that. We want them to go to work and come back the same way they went.
Yeah.
You know, safe. Well, first, tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved with the IM.
I work for the Machinists Union in Boston. Local 264. So that's that big happening with the MBTA bus mechanics. I am so proud of them, and you know, we also represent other places as well. Boston is a fantastic town. The wave that's going on right now with the union. There was a Stop and Shop strike as well.
And you all supported that as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, some of the people that are running for president, Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, came out. It's the wave, the union wave is fantastic, and I am so honored to be a part of it. And so,
when did you join the union?
I joined in 2016.
Okay.
I was hired in 2015, and I had to put in a year before they said, you know, I think maybe you should be a part of this. And I said, yes, I should. Most definitely.
What made you become interested in wanting to go further and be more involved with the union?
The wave, that's my term, you know, that it's so exciting what's going on in Massachusetts right now, that people see how much good we can bring to the community, the individuals, the company, and that's the organizing class. I have to admit that I'm pretty excited because I'm in the middle of this class.
Why did you want to take that class?
Because being part of the union changes people's lives. And it's not just because we have a job. It's not just because we're bringing home a paycheck. It's because we're helping our coworkers. You know, these are the people that we probably play baseball with after work, and their kids are going to the same schools. It's a community. So it's not just a community where you live. It's a community where you work.
We're showing a picture of your class photo. So you're meeting people from all over North America.
Yes. Wonderful. Someone came from Hawaii. She's having a hard time the first day staying awake, but after that, she's doing fantastic.
So what are you learning in this class?
Well, from my perspective, being a woman in the union and being a woman in the workforce, there's so much diversity. So not just gender, but we're talking about religion, ethnicity. Those minorities aren't as minorities as they used to be. They're growing. And we need to include them. And we need, you know, that is part of our community. And I feel that we need to be inclusive. You know, women are important. You know, they're running for Congress. They're running for the House of Representatives. They're running for president. And it's important that people know that women can be leaders. And
even in our own union.
And and minorities as well. We shouldn't count anybody out. And I'm all for bringing them in.
Excellent. So do you have any tips you'd like to share from your class about what you've learned this week?
It's all about being inclusive. You know, you don't know any, that person that you're not sure about, why don't you find out? Find out what they do with their free time. You know, you might find out that they have a fantasy soccer league, which is almost the same as a fantasy football league. You have something in common now. And inclusive, you know, what about your kids? And what about your mom that's getting older? It's all about including and being a community, because we're all touching each other wherever we are.
So what do you hope to take back with you when you go back home after this experience?
I'm hoping to share that with all those guys that I work with. 30% women, woohoo!
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Anything else you'd like to mention?
I feel pretty good about the inclusivity. Minorities, be aware of the people around you, wherever they're from. They're a part of your life. They're a part of your community.
Getting to know people is so easy by just talking to people and learning about them. And we find that we have so much in common that we never knew.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Keisha.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For being here. We appreciate it. So let's hear for Keisha. So that was Keisha Dunleavy. Keisha is with the Massachusetts State Council of Machinists. And Keisha was taking the organizing class this week. She actually still is, because she has a couple more days to do that. But another class that we have here, we have members of the National Federation of Federal Employees, NFEIAM, and the Forest Service Council is here. So Bridget Higby is here, and we're going to talk to Bridget a little bit about what you're doing in your basic steward training and just why you wanted to be here to take this class.
I wanted to be here because I wanted to take an extra step to be able to stand up and fight for the workers who don't have a voice or don't feel like they necessarily have a voice. The more of us that stand together, the greater chance we have to have better wages, better safety in the workplace. You know, that's a huge one. The numbers, there should not be occupational deaths in the workplace. So that's a big one, safety. And then, of course, the discrimination that goes on in the workplace.
So what is a typical day like for you as a steward?
I'm just starting.
Okay.
So that's why I'm here for the training.
Thank you for being a steward, because I think, you know, you're on the front lines there. You're out there, you're, you know, in the shops. You're often the first person that a worker will run into when it comes to the union. Mm-hmm. So what made you want to be a steward in the first place?
When I get back to my local, one of the first things that is actually on the agenda is to go and speak to the workplace improvement group and explain to them what I have learned here and take the message home that the union is there to help improve their workplace. And by becoming a member, you know, we can further that mission and help them with their goals.
You know, a lot of people wonder, like, what is the union going to do for me? You know, how are my dues going to be spent? And I know I've met people over my lifetime who I had to tell them I get so much more in return for what I pay each month.
And it's not just what's in it for me. You know, that is such a narrow vision. It's more of, it's all of us.
It's collective, yes.
It's collective. And it's America. It's Canada. You know, we are international. The IAM is international. And so it's such a broader picture than just, you know, me and I.
People used to say we have strength in numbers. We have power in numbers.
Power. And that's what we need. We need the leverage. We need to be able to go, like, next week and speak to the representatives. And
now she's talking about the legislative conference.
Yes.
I think it starts Monday, May 6th. Do I have those dates right, everybody? Okay.
Yes.
So, yes, that week of May is the legislative conference, and we have members coming from all over North America to Washington, D.C., and they have appointments with their representatives to talk about the issues that are important to working families. So we have a long list of issues.
Yes.
Yep. You know, whether it's worker safety, whether it's overtime, protecting, you know, our rights to collectively bargain and to organize.
Right. And veterans and the firefighters, they're they're working on some of their rights. So if they're injured on the job, they don't necessarily get all the benefits that are afforded to them. So
I can imagine a lot of the firefighters that we have that are out there just in the thick of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really think about it. We take them for granted.
Right.
That they're out there risking their lives for everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, our first responders. And we're such a diverse union. We have so many different members in NEFE.
Right. The federal workforce is quite broad. So it's amazing to learn the structure.
So what advice do you have for anybody who has never taken this class? What would you say to them?
The first thing is to make sure that you have the master agreement and to look through that and read that, to make sure that you have your statutes, you know, so that you can refer to them, because that is what you need to know your rights.
And this is your class right here.
Yes.
It's a small class, but a very important class.
It is. Our dynamics, normally it's a larger class, but this way we can collaborate and work together more as a team. They have broken us up into two unions for our exercises. But it works really well because we can do class exercises and different things together and bounce ideas off each other. So that works really well.
That's great. Anything else you'd like to mention?
I'm just so happy to be here. And, you know, I hope to extend my education through the IAM and continue with the union. So.
Well, you're at a great place. We have so many classes here, and we're glad you're taking advantage.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Let's hear it for Bridget Higby. That was Bridget Higby from NEFE IAM, and she is taking the basic steward training class. Now we're going to talk to Ed. Ed, you are also in that basic steward training.
That's correct.
What made you want to be a steward?
Well, my situation is a little bit different. In 2009, I received an unfair performance appraisal, and I went to the union for assistance on it. And this is really a payback for the services I received from the union and the support.
So you needed help, and you went to your steward.
Yes.
And explained the situation.
Yeah, it was our representative.
Okay, your representative, and you were able to get help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so glad that you did that. I mean, asking for help is the first step.
Yeah, it's hard for a lot of people to go that route.
So now do you feel like the tables are turned? You're becoming a steward now?
Yeah, and I think the importance of it also, at least in our lodge, is that there aren't too many people who are willing to step up to the plate to be a union steward. So
how do we change that? How do we?
Pizza parties.
Bring the food. They will come, right? Free food.
I think getting people, doing outreach is the way to get people involved in the union activities and letting them know what kind of benefits they can receive from the union that are not related to grievances and conflict, but more so related to programs like wellness and
free college.
Yes, and maxi flex schedules so mm-hmm. that they can work with their supervisors and everybody can have harmony.
How does that work, the maxi flex?
Basically, you have to get permission from your supervisor, but the way it works is that if it makes sense for you to be working certain hours, you can work outside of the regularly scheduled program, which would be 8 to 4:30. So
that can help so much with people's schedules, especially if they have kids or if they have to take a class or something.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful. What stood out to you this week?
Well, for me, this has been a lot about learning the paralegal and procedural aspects of union work. Back on the home unit, I work with a seasoned veteran, and he's been a union representative for over 20 years. And I deal more with the human condition when I'm working on cases with him. So this is fairly procedural for me. It's a learning experience from an educational perspective more than from the human standpoint. Although, with that being said, the networking is very important as well, and this is a great opportunity to do that.
Tell us a little bit more about where you're from and what you do.
I'm from Arizona, from, well, I live in Flagstaff, but I work in Williams, Arizona, which is about 60 miles south of the Grand Canyon, and I'm a recreation technician, so I spend 90% of my time in the field. I do everything from cleaning the vault toilets, which may not be so glorious, to clearing trails in the wilderness with crosscut saws. I take care of rental cabins. We have a cabin rental program. We have historic rental cabins that are available to the public.
So you do a little bit of everything.
Fix fences.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you. Uh-huh. We appreciate it. Anything else you'd like to mention if someone's thinking about taking this class?
I would say that if they're planning to take this class, they should really consider that it's going to be a lot of information that they're going to be trying to retain, and not to be frustrated if you can't get every little detail. I'm going to have to go back and review the master agreement a little bit more and become a little more familiarized with some of the policies, but it's been a great experience for me. My instructors have been excellent, and yeah, nothing but praise for them.
Great. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
Ed, all right. Okay, that was Ed from NEFI IAM. Now, as I mentioned before, if you're just joining us, we have several classes that are here at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. There's an organizing class going on right now. There is also basic steward training going on for NEFI IAM, our federal employees. And we also have a political training and education class that is going on. So we have Brian Illich with us right now. And Brian, tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay, so I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm part of Local Lodge 701 Automobile Mechanics. We're a large local, and we represent automobile mechanics and forklift workers. Trying to think of who else we represent. There's Equipment Depot and some other places. Basically, anybody who works with like hand tools, repairs, stuff like that.
So what made you decide that you wanted to get involved with the union?
Actually, I was part of a collective bargaining unit in 2016 that was on strike, Rocheford. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Bill Lipinski was my BA at the time. And we went out on strike because they didn't want to give us a fair contract. Mm-hmm. That shop actually ended up decertifying, and I ended up going to another shop. After that point, I did not want to let anyone take any of my collective bargaining rights away.
So, I mean, that hit you close to home, obviously.
Very close to home. It was very upsetting. I just purchased a home about 6 months prior. So it was a shot to my livelihood.
So what does that contract mean to you, to be a union member with a union contract?
Well, it gives a worker protection, a peace of mind, and, you know, dignity on the job, that you know that you're going to have a fair wage and benefits for your family so you can provide.
So what has this week been like for you? What have you been learning? Because you've been talking about a lot of issues.
So the political class, basically we're learning about political action and, you know, how it benefits labor, mm-hmm. How to run a campaign as well. Other than that, we've had some guest speakers come in from like a couple committees that help get people elected and whatnot. So it's been a real eye-opener to see the political side of everything.
We had a stat that we ran last week that said something like 900 people in the United States were elected to office that were union members.
Correct.
So 900 people. It's really growing in terms of union members representing us in the United States. How important is that we do have our voices heard?
There's a saying I've heard come out of a couple people from my local, and elections have consequences. And if you don't have the correct people in office to represent your voice, it doesn't get heard. And, you know, unions are under attack today up on Capitol Hill. And we need people that represent our values for our members.
Okay, I've been seeing posters all over the building here in the Wimpasinger Center, and I saw one that you had. It was like, there it is. It says, Brian Illich for Congress, 17th District. So you actually had to go through the steps of a campaign.
Correct. So we're running like a mock campaign, and there'll be an election on Friday.
Are you going to win?
I sure hope so. hopefully my constituents vote for me. You know.
So what have you had to do? Do you have to go out and talk to everybody? Or?
So it's like running an actual genuine campaign. We hand-build. We made, obviously, like the flyers and whatnot.
I do have to tell you that Jana, she has really big signs.
Yeah, she does.
Is Jana in here?
I think she is.
Where's Jana? I don't know. Okay, Jana's signs, I saw them in like three different places.
Yeah.
And she put them in places that I never would have thought. So I'm just walking outside and I look up and I see this huge Jana for Texas sign.
Yeah.
But
It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, there's like no animosity between the running mates. It's just to see like how to run this campaign genuinely. And what I'm going to take from this is going back to my local, helping, you know, political action help our local level at the local lodge level. And also, I'm going to be running in my community for a position.
What are you interested in running for?
So currently I'm a potential candidate. We're doing some polls and we're going to see if for highway commissioner or like a trustee type position would be the best position for me to run for.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
What made you decide that you were really going to go ahead and go for it?
Well, ever since, like I talked about, you know, my collective bargaining rights being like basically taken away at that one job that I had, I've become a huge advocate for labor. And I want to give labor the largest voice that I could possibly give it for my local lodge and for my community.
There's so many issues out there. Which one speaks to you the most? I mean, we have...
Well, I mean, the biggest one is right to work, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, that affects us all.
It sounds like a good thing, but it's not.
Yeah. Everyone knows what it means. I mean, it does nothing but kneecap unions and try to bankrupt them, basically. So,
yeah, and you make less money in right-to-work states.
Correct, and have less protected rights.
That's true. Wow. Well, I give more power to you. I hope you win when you go back home, and keep in touch with us on what you run for.
For sure.
Any advice for anybody thinking about running?
I mean, seriously, if you're unhappy with the way things are going in your community, you should get involved, whether it be you run or you donate your time to get people who have your values in. It's all the same. It's collective action to make change is what's going to make it happen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So Brian Illich has joined us from Local Lodge 701 in our Midwest territory. He's not only running for office here in his class, but he wants to run for office for real. So he could be one of our new members. One of our new union members, 901, you know, we had 900 people that are union members that ran for office and won. So we hope that Brian will be the next one. So thank you, Brian, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Great.
So we've been talking to some students who have been taking classes here at the William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Hollywood, Maryland. And the class that we're talking about now is actually a political training and education class. And Junior Alegria is here. Did I get it right?
Pretty close enough.
Pretty close. Okay. I was like, I don't want to butcher anybody's name. But what has the class been like for you this week?
It's been quite hectic because I took on the role as a campaign manager for Jenna for Texas.
Ooh. Are you the one that put up all those huge signs?
With help from the rest of the people on our team, yes. So
I have to put it, well, Luis put a sign that was on the women's bathroom door. You can't miss that because everybody has to go to the bathroom. So you've been doing great with publicity,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Luis is over there laughing. What stood out to you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. What stood out to you this week?
How much work it really is to put together an effective campaign. At least I hope it's effective. I'm hoping we win. Sorry, Brian. It's still a lot of work. It really is. And if you want to run a very successful campaign, then you've got to put in that effort. Like you said, we have 900 unit members who are elected. We need to get more out there. They have our best interests at heart.
And that was only in the United States. You know, that we didn't even touch on Canada yet.
Yeah.
You know, because we have some Canadian members that are running as well. So we just talked to Dan Jansen last week, who is running up in Canada.
Funny story, I went to Young Machinist with Dan a couple years ago.
You did?
At the Open Singer Center.
Do you think he has a shot?
Of course. Anybody that comes from here has a shot.
All right. So for all the people that weren't able to be here this week, and they're interested in taking this class, what is it like?
You better come ready to write down a lot of stuff and do a lot of studying. It's been a lot of studying in our little breakout sessions. And you're taking knowledge from a fire hose, man. Just catch what you can catch and take a lot of notes. And
you've had speakers?
Yeah, we've had several speakers.
Okay. So Rick De La Fuente has talked to you. Mm-hmm. Hassan Solomon has talked to you.
He's a really good speaker, too.
He spoke today, didn't he?
Today.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, he has a lot to say. And trying to take everything he says and remember it all is difficult.
Both of them, Rick and Hassan. So do you think that you would ever run for office?
Absolutely.
What would you be interested in?
I would like to start as a state legislator. We have two that run in my little area right now, and I would like to run against them, but I might start a little bit smaller and work with the school board first just to get my feet wet.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people will start with school board and then go to city council and then go to state office. So
I like biting off more than I can chew. I might just go big to start with.
Hey, it's experience, right? It's experience. You learn from every experience. Anything else you'd like to share with our viewers at home who are trying to learn as much as they can about these courses?
Get involved. If you can get involved with your union and have a chance to come here, do it. You learn a lot while you're here, but more importantly, the connections that you make while you're here, when you leave here and you forget something that pertains to whatever you're doing right now, you can reach out to those connections you made, and there's a good chance that they retained it. I still keep in contact with my young machinist group, and pop off a lot of questions all the time with them, and it's still pretty active. So
we can all learn so much from each other.
Yes, ma'am.
So, well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Good luck. Good luck. I was supposed to give an organizing tip earlier, and I forgot to do it. So Joe Heckman is so kind. He has all of our graphics lined up, and he's just a few feet away from me. So each week, we'd like to give you some sort of organizing tip. And this week, we would just like to encourage you to take a class at the Wimpasinger Center. You can go to the website, which is wimpasinger.iamaw.org. You spell Wimpasinger, W-I-N, P-I-S-I-N-G-E-R. .iamaw.org. And that's so funny. It's like win, pie, and then singer. I just realized that. And today is also National Skilled Trades Day. So thank you so much to all of our members out there throughout North America that are in the skilled trades. We appreciate you. Today was the day to recognize you. So if you know someone in the skilled trades, go ahead and let them know that you appreciate them and the work that they do is so important. We want to also remind you that we have registrations due here for classes that are coming up here at the Wimpasinger Center. May 10th is the deadline for news writing for communicators. There are some prerequisites for that, so make sure that you go to our website and look up what those are. May 13th is the registration deadline for financial officers. And June 3rd is the deadline for EAP 1. We have some state council meetings coming up. New York State Council of Machinists meets in Niagara Falls April 28th to the 30th. And then May 16th to the 18th, Quebec Machinist Council Convention takes place in Victoriaville in Quebec. And we mentioned earlier, we'll mention it again, Legislative Conference is coming up next week. That's May 6th through the 8th. People all across the United States we're going to converge on Washington, D.C. to meet with our representatives in Congress and to let them know that we want our voices to be heard when it comes to issues that are important to working families. So no matter what that issue is, we want to protect our organizing rights, our collective bargaining rights. We want to protect our contracts that we have. And June 10th to the 14th, is the IAM Wood, Pulp, and Paper Conference, and that is going to be in Biloxi, Mississippi, and Joe and I will be there to do a special show there. And I can't go without saying that June 4th through the 6th is our communications conference. This is for communicators all across North America. We get the voice activation term because we are learning to activate our voices. And we're trying to teach our communicators and others who work in communications in our union to make our voices heard. So this will be a great conference. It's at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. And we'll all just have a great time learning about communications, whether you have experience or not. So we have one last guest, and it's a familiar face. We have Edmundo Osorio here. Yay! And Edmundo has hosted two shows that are the Spanish version of Activate Live. It's called Activate Latino, and I'm going to let him give you the surprise about what's coming up later this year. So why don't you just let them know what's coming up?
Thank you, Tanya. Hola, les saluda Edmundo Osorio, aquí de la Unión de Maquinistas en el Centro Educativo Weeping Singer, invitándolos a que nos acompañe el 14 de agosto, miércoles, a las 3 de la tarde, para una edición especial de Actívate Latino. Tendremos aquí en el Weeping Singer Centro, tendremos el programa de entrenar al entrenador desde el 11 al 16 de agosto. Este programa capacita a todos los participantes para que regresen a sus logias locales y ellos también puedan desempeñar el mismo labor que hacemos aquí. Ella es el programa que capacita a la próxima generación de educadores. Ellos regresarán a sus logias y podrán ellos también educar a sus afiliados. Así que si usted está interesado y quiere registrarse y ya ha cumplido con el programa de avanzado, acuda a su logia local, hable con los líderes a ver si se puede usted inscribir para el programa. Tenemos varios programas en español y es va a ser una semana muy informativa. Así que acompáñenos a ese programa, Actívate Latino, aquí en esta plataforma de YouTube, Facebook y Twitter. Yo soy Edmundo Osorio, recordándoles, ¿se puede?
¡Sí, sí se puede!
Gracias.
De nada. I'm not fluent, but mark your calendar for August 14th. That's Wednesday, August 14th, for the next edition of Activate Latino. So I'll be there in the wings. And Edmundo and I joke because every time I see him, I get a new word that I learn in Spanish. So you know what I learned today? And I hope I can remember it.
Wait.
Let me think. I said it to my boss, Bob Wood. It's going to take me 1 minute. No, it wasn't cerveza. No. No tomo cerveza, no.
Joe cerveza.
Vino. Tequila. Okay. I can't believe I'm having sometimes on this. Don't laugh, but I'm going to try to go for it, okay? And it was Jorge who taught me this word. Because yesterday, you taught me milpas.
Milpas, yes.
It was plantation, because there was this great restaurant he was telling me about called Cuatro Milpas.
Cuatro Milpas in San Diego, yes.
Correct. Right. So Jorge walked in, and I was like, I need a new word today. Hold on. Just give me a minute, seriously. I'm getting old, and I'm like losing it.
I think you need to come to the Spanish program.
I do. I need to come to the Spanish program.
In Spanish, so.
Is it Al Gracia? No, I didn't say it right. See, I got to go back to school. You know, if I had just stuck with it.
Agravio.
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 Yes.
Agravio. Agravio. Okay,
agravio,
I'm going to have to say that like 20 times tomorrow. Agravio. Grievance.
Grievance is agravio.
Sí. Okay, so from now on, when I see anybody who speaks Spanish, I'm going to be like, it has to be a union-related Spanish word.
Very good. Correct. I agree.
Thank you.
We have a lot of Spanish speakers and bilingual. And
yes.
I encourage all the bilingual members because they are the bridge in communication between the Spanish speakers and the English speakers. Very important part of our union is the bilingual sector. And it's a growing, growing sector. So I thank you, Tanya.
And the reason that we're going to say this in English, the reason that we're doing this show in August is because this is the first Train the Trainer that is part of the Spanish Leadership Program.
That's right. The first one this year. And we hope that if you are not enrolled in the program right now and you qualify, if you've taken advanced leadership, Go to your local leadership at your local lodge and see if you're able to attend, if they can sign you up. Of course, you need the permission from your local lodge to do so. But the prerequisite would be advanced leadership, of course.
Great. We look forward to it.
We're very excited. Estamos muy emocionados. Gracias.
De nada. So we are so happy that everyone has joined us here, our studio audience from all of the classes here at the Wimpasinger Center, organizing the basic steward training, the political training and education, and Edmundo for giving us a preview of what's coming up on August 14th. So don't forget to mark your calendars. And we just have so many resources here as union members at the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center. So don't forget to check the website to look up any of the classes that you're interested in taking. The schedule is on the website. You can read the descriptions about the classes. And we'll be back here again sometime soon. So we'll let you know when we have another special edition of Activate Live. We will see you next Wednesday. Did I forget anything, Joe? All right. See you then. Take care. All right.